Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, pod people, and welcome back to Classic Ads from Simpler Times, where this week we're transported back to a time when TV sitcom dinosaurs roamed the earth and you couldn't pitch a TV ad to a client unless you could play the jingle on a white grand piano whilst wearing fancy dress. Ah yes, the 70s, where a glass of lemonade is a guilty pleasure to be taken in the middle of the night, and the ad industry believes the only way to get you to buy some is to sing the brand name to you 24 times in a 30-second advert. So come along with us as we hopscotch through the white dog shit of 1973. You'll be accompanied by myself, Steve Cook, and my co-host, award-winning advertising creative and TV ad director, Tony Williams. Tony apparently has the kind of voice you could fall in love with, according to recent listener feedback. So ladies, you've been warned. You may need to go to your safe place with a cold compress and some Epsom salts before you listen to this. Along with Tony Golden Voice, we'll be joined by Elvis Costello's dad as we gargle our way through a review of a 30-second TV ad for a 176-year-old carbonated drink that features two actors who had gone to forever have the words "star of the secret lemonade drinker" advert appended to their names, because everything else they did after it was shit.
She was listening to the podcast and she went, "Oh, I love Tony's voice." I said, "Oh, is it?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "It's the sort of voice you could fall in love with." I said, "Really?" I said, "Who's this?" And she said, "Oh, so and so." I said, "How old is she?" She went, 55. So she's just grateful she can actually hear it.
Tony's voice is the kind of voice you could fall in love with.
Okay. One lettuce, 1 pound of potatoes. I'm going to need to just read the shopping list.
Okay.
Fried eggs, chips.
Welcome back, Tony. The year is 1973.
1973. That's a good decade.
Were you even born in 1973?
I was one in 1973.
Really?
Yes.
So you're not going to remember any of this. You're not going to remember that Britain was at war over Iceland. Britain was at war with Iceland.
What, the frozen food company?
Over fishing rights in the North Atlantic.
Wow.
This was known as the Cod Wars.
The Cod Wars. What goes around comes around.
Britain lost, by the way.
Did they?
Yeah.
Britain lost the Cod Wars. Thank God for Britain.
Thank God for that.
There must have been so many. Were there any good posters in that war? You know, like loose lips, sink ships. Was there anything about, you know, I don't know, don't talk fish or you'll have done on your dish, or I don't know, anything like that? Oh my God, it's cod.
Be careful. Loose lips might tip the scales. Pink Floyd released Dark Side of the Moon in 1973. Mm. British Leyland launched the Austin Allegro.
Wow.
Do you remember the Austin Allegro?
Yeah, beige usually.
Yes.
The only thing colourful was the logo on the back.
British Leyland launched the Austin Allegro. Pizza Hut opened its first ever British restaurant.
Can you
imagine how exciting that would have been in 1973?
Well, I remember going to the first McDonald's in Worcester, but the first Pizza Hut. Whoa, that's luxury. It's exotic.
I was just checking
the red light's on. It's a go.
Everybody's watching the first episode of Last of the Summer Wine.
Oh, and Nora. Nora
Batty.
Yeah. Show us your stockings.
Everybody's watching the very first episode of the Wombles.
The Wombles of Wombledon, Carmen, are we?
Narrated by?
Oh, Bernard Cribbin.
Bernard Cribbin. You've got your memory.
Oh, I was singing that yesterday.
Your memory for absolute shite trivia never ceases to astonish me.
But what's even stranger is I was singing the Wombles.
Okay, prepare yourself. Get your impression ready.
Okay.
1973, the first ever episode of Some Mothers Do Have 'Em.
Betty. That one. Look at the whoops in the carpet.
I feel like
this Michael Ball.
It feels like Groundhog Day. I feel like we've hummed that tune in a previous episode.
Well, probably for a while.
They're all merging into one. 1973, the first ever episode of Are You Being Served?
I'm free, Mr. Peacock.
The first ever episode of Open All Hours.
Really?
Mm.
1973?
Yep. Apparently it was the pilot. First ever episode.
That was a bit of a wake.
First ever episode of The Goodies.
Goody, goody, gum, gum.
Goody, it was that, was it? Goodies, goody, goody, yum, yum.
Oh, goody, goody, yum, yum, was it?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, misheard lyrics. We'll get onto that later.
It was the first ever episode of Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads.
Don't even know what that is.
Don't remember that one?
No.
And it was the first ever episode of a TV series that you could probably turn on the telly now and watch an episode of, MASH.
No, it's finished, isn't it?
It's just on every single day.
Oh, yeah, right. Didn't it have the biggest viewing figures of any TV show in the world was the final episode of MASH.
Yeah.
So there was a year of firsts.
Was there a lot of firsts?
My first birthday. First that, first this.
CFAX launched.
Nice. So you could like wait for 10 minutes to see what the weather was or look out the window.
The only one that was really relevant to you was the launch of the Wombles, wasn't it?
I suppose, Orinoco.
None of the rest is really appropriate. Anyway, meanwhile in Weatherfield, wishy-washy Coronation Street intellectual Ken Barlow.
He's still there.
Marries Janet Reid secretly in Scotland.
How can you get married secretly? But he gets married a lot, doesn't he? Every time we talk about him, he's getting married.
I'm just about to get... So Janet was Ken's second wife. His first wife was Valerie Tatlock, whom he married in 1962. This is where the story gets a bit murky. Because in 1971, Valerie Tatlock and Ken had decided to emigrate to the West Indies, which seems like a strange place to emigrate to. But on the night they were due to leave, Valerie mysteriously died from an electric shock from a faulty hairdryer. She was actually doing her hair to go to the pub for their leaving party and died.
Although I think Ken's got a bit of a nice blow dry. He's got a bit of a bouffant, doesn't he? Wasn't there, they always seem to stop going to exotic places. Weren't they going to the Canary Islands? Or was that Prince Charles? When they go on holiday, I can't remember.
That was Corfu.
That was Corfu. Was it Ken? No,
that was when him and Deirdre got married.
Yeah, but we never saw it, and now they're due to go to the West Indies.
Ken was obviously devastated by the death of Valerie because he managed to get a grip on it and get married again 2 years later.
To a woman who looks like she had her hair fried in the bath.
Yeah. So Valerie's gone. He's married Jan Reid, and then his marriage to Jan Reid is a whole journey in itself. It's a whole... there's a whole thing happening there, but I can't tell you about it because it's outside the 1973 remit.
I'm dying to know. Please tell me. No, go
it's
on.
Outside
please.
The 1973 remit.
Thank God.
This year, in 1973, a lemonade company which first made lemonade in 1845 made a TV ad. Oh, they got their advertising agency to make TV ad. Their advertising agency was called Alan Brady Marsh.
Alan Brady Marsh? I've not heard of that one before.
Alan Brady Marsh. And they got a chap called Rod Allen to write a TV ad for them. The ad was called The Secret Lemonade Drinker.
Mm.
This is where you sing the song.
I'm a secret lemonade drinker. How white's lemonade? For years, I used to sing and I thought it was Harwhites. And I used to go, Harwhites, Harwhites Lemonade. I didn't know it was Harwhites. So there you go.
Harwhites. I love this ad. This ad aired on the TV. So I was 11 years old in 1973 and we were singing this ad in the playground at school. I can remember it as if it was yesterday.
So take us through the ad then from beginning to end.
Hang on. That's your job, by the way.
Sorry, okay.
That's not my... You know, let's... Stay in your lane, mate.
All right.
The ad was ranked at number 4 in the Channel 4 top 100 ads. Remember the same one that we did? This is in 2000. And so it ranked number 4 in 2000. And it won a silver at Cannes in 1974.
Was Cannes going in 1974? In anything.
And it ran until 1984. So it ran off for 11 years. That's pretty good, isn't it?
It is. So what sticks in your memory about it?
Oh, it's just the jingle. So Rod Allen, in the industry at the time, was known as the king of the jingle.
Oh, was he? What else did he make?
Oh.
Oh, come on.
Oh! This guy is a bona fide industry legend. So he's responsible for a lot of jingles, but also a lot of lines. So Secret Lemonade Drinker was his. Midland Bank, the listening bank.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was his. Woolworths, that's the wonder of Woolies.
I didn't know that.
That was his. Can you imagine how hard it would have been to persuade Woolworths in 1975 or whenever it was to stop using their name Woolworths and use the name Woolies in a TV ad? Because do you remember the hoo-ha when McDonald's started using the word, the name Macca's in Australia? No. What a carry-on.
Really?
What a carry-on. He was also responsible for the line, harp stays sharp.
To the bottom of the glass.
There you go.
Harp stays sharp.
Feel free to do an impression. He was responsible for This Is the Age of the Train. Starring.
No, this is the age of the train. Funny, it says age. That's all I can do, Jimmy.
Starring Jimmy Savile. Yeah. His line, got a lot of bottle.
Milk, got a lot of
milk
bottle.
That hung around for a long, long time.
Wow.
I'd never heard of this one. Apparently, he was responsible for a lovely line, triangular honey from triangular bees. It's for Toblerone.
No, never heard that.
Power to the people.
Power to the people. Everready.
Everready.
There you go.
Everready batteries. See if you can get this. Fit the best.
Everest.
Hey. There you go. I love this one. Stella's for the fellas who take their lager strong.
Wow.
Which is, you know, could have been Stella's
for Shandy's for the ladies.
Stella's
who
for
just
the fellas.
Taken the wrong.
Stella's for the fellas whose wives have got two black eyes because they've already been told twice.
You have to cut that bit out.
And one that I remember from when I was a child, the pint that thinks it's a quart.
What's that?
That was for Whitbread Trophy Bitter.
Oh, I don't know.
He wrote some stuff, and he wrote some stuff that's hung around, and he wrote some stuff that was very, very, very memorable.
That's a good list.
King of the Jingle.
I'm the king of the jingle. That's exactly. Good. That's the king of the jingle.
That's great, isn't it? So Rod Allen was one of the founding partners of, along with Mike Brady and Peter Marsh. The king of the jingle apparently had a white grand piano in his office.
Of course he did.
Where he composed his jingles on.
Jeez.
Yeah. So legend has it that when the agency pitched work, one of the partners, Peter Marsh, would put on a white suit and a white bowler hat, and he would sing the jingle while Rod Allen accompanied him on his white grand piano.
Ooh.
Can you imagine doing that in a pitch? That'd be brilliant.
Imagine taking the piano to the pitch.
So it's on stage. Your man Rod Allen sat there going, "What?" And then what happens is this bloke, he creeps down the stairs. I'll tell you what, before we go on, do you want to take us through the ad? Tell me what happens in the ad.
Here's the audio for the ad. As per usual, head to our YouTube channel for the full 1973 visual experience.
I'm a secret lemonade drinker.
Always.
I've been trying to keep it up, but it's one of those nights.
Always
lemonade. I'm a secret lemonade drinker.
Always
lemonade.
Lemonade.
The ad shows a house in the middle of the night. I'm assuming it's the middle of the night because it's very dark. And this figure comes to the top of the stairs and steps over the dog. And he's wearing stripy pajamas and a strange pair of glasses. Not unlike Elvis Costello. And he starts tiptoeing down the stairs I'm a secret lemonade drinker. Anyway.
All white lemonade.
And he makes his way down the stairs into the kitchen where he opens the fridge and he gets out a bottle of the good stuff. And you can actually see under the fridge door, because there's no camera blocking, these feet come towards him and it's his wife. And he doesn't really stop. He sort of starts doing this drunken uncle dance, singing that he loves his lemonade. I mean, if I didn't know better, I think he'd have a little bit more than his lemonade in that bottle. But yeah, he's a secret lemonade drinker. And then it really climaxes at this bit of a rock and roll kind of track. Is it based on anything, that song?
No, Rod Allen wrote it.
Because I think is supposed to sound a bit like the Schweppes. It is Schweppes, isn't it? Our White Lemonade, or is that the actual manufacturer?
No, Our White Lemonade. Thought,
okay, for some reason, because it was always like that, you know, when you open a bottle.
Yeah.
Our White Lemonade.
So Our White Lemonade, first made lemonade in 1845, right, okay. Taken over by Whitbread in the 1960s, then Britvic.
That's what I thought.
In 1986.
Okay. So, that's what I thought.
So at the time, it was owned by Whitbread.
So I remember seeing a little like yellow label on it in my time. When the pop man used to come around in his van. Dandelion and burdock and some lemonade, please. And some cherry, was it the cream soda?
Dandelion and burdock's gone the way of white dog shit, hasn't it? Just can't find it anymore.
Tasted similar, yeah. Spangles, white dog shit and dandelion and burdock. There's some bloke with a house full of them. He's hoarding it all.
The actor creeping down the stairs is a bloke called Julian Chagrin. Which is a very strange name.
That's
isn't
not
it?
A real name. It must be a stage name. No one's called Julian.
Julian had a very long and storied career, of which this is the highlight.
Is it?
Well, have you heard of any of these? Okay. I don't even know whether they're TV series or whether they're movies, but Danger Route.
No, I had one, but don't know it.
The Bliss of Miss Blossom.
No.
He did star in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland in 1977, along with Peter Sellers and Spike Milligan. So it's a British movie. He was in one episode of The Goodies and one episode of The Avengers.
Okay.
His wife in the advert is played by a lady called Harriet Philippin, who appeared in Doctor Who, Blake 7, and The Sweeney.
Blake 7.
When you look up either of them on the internet, their name always ends with the phrase he/she was best known.
He wouldn't be that guy. He'd go, "Oh, I know your face." They go, "No, you don't."
For his/her part in the Our White Secret Lemonade
Drinker. They go, "I'm sure I remember with glasses." No, you don't. No, I do. All right, the fucking lemonade man.
Yeah. So it was always, she was best known for her part in the Our White's Secret Lemonade advert. As is the trend, in 2012, they did a reshoot of that ad for Our White's Icy Poles. Icy Poles is what we call them in Australia. So lollipops?
Ice balls, I think.
Anyway, frame for frame. They did it frame for frame using the same talent. So Julian Chagrin.
Was he in a Stannis stairlift?
You have not seen anything like it. So picture a 72-year-old bloke with a ponytail.
He's doing the old, that was me, from the ads. Remember the ads? That was me.
And she looked like she would rather be anywhere else in the whole world. And all they did was replace the word drinker with the word liquor, because it was for Icy Pole. So it's, I'm a secret lemonade liquor.
How does the woman hold a liquor? By the ears. I'm just, because neither of them looked that great at the time, did it? They literally look
He looks terrible. In the remake, he looks absolutely ghastly.
Oh dear.
And he's wearing the exact same pair of glasses. I think they're huge.
They remind me of, I don't know if you've seen Stephen King's It, with the young kid. When he goes back to when they're all young, there's a little lad in there who wears these big glasses exactly like this.
There is an interesting bit of trivia on this ad. The singer of the song was a bloke called Ross McManus, and he managed to get his son a job playing the drums in the studio, and his son also sang backing vocals on the track. Does the name McManus ring any bells?
McManus, no.
Ross McManus, his son, was called Declan McManus, who went on to have a career as Elvis Costello.
Oh, Yep. There you go. I'm just looking at that again. I was mistaken. He's not wearing stripy pajamas. For some, yeah, again, it's one of those things in your mind. He was wearing blue and white stripy pajamas. He's not. He's wearing a lilac pair.
My abiding memory of it is the opening bit when he's at the top of the stairs and it looks like he's going to kick the dog.
Yeah, I'm sure the dog was in the remake. We might as well play it. We've got the audio tapped in. Do you want to? We've been talking about it. We might as well listen to it.
Let me just stop and then restart.
I'm a secret lemonade drinker. Always. I'm trying to keep it up, but it's one of those nights. Always lemonade. I'm a secret lemonade drinker. Always lemonade. Always lemonade.
And you're back in the room.
I didn't remember the bit at the end where he goes, "Oh, what's lemonade, Mick?"
Okay. Can you play it again so we can sing along?
Please.
Because okay. I find it very difficult to listen to it without singing along.
Go ahead.
Okay. Are you going to sing as well?
No.
Oh, please do.
Standing by.
Secret lemonade drinker. Ah, whites. Trying to give it up, but it's one of those nights.
Ah, whites.
Ah, white lemonade. Our secret lemonade drinker. Ah, white lemonade.
Ah, white lemonade.
Do you know what I love about that ad?
What?
They get the brand name in 24 times in 30 seconds.
Oh, that's clever. They'd like that. And yeah, plus the pack. Very good.
Yeah, plus the pack shop.
Very good.
But I defy you to write anything that good that you can get the brand name in 24 times in 30 seconds.
Dos tacos. There it is. It's certainly one of those ads you remember. Again, all the little details you forget. Like, oh, I'm a secret ad drinker. All I remember is going, "Oh, White's tiptoeing down like a bit of a weirdo in the night."
So Alan Brady Marsh were famous for this shit. Their reputation with the rest of the industry was that they did this stuff. They were the, not only was Rod Allen the king of the jingle, the agency was the king of the jingle. I think it's John Hegarty who tells a story about an early agency he was involved in that looked at buying them and was horrified because every single ad had a jingle in it. And there's a lovely story on the internet about a guy, a writer who starts at the agency and his first job is to write a TV ad. And he writes his TV ad and Rod Allen comes and looks over his shoulder and goes, "You know what? This advert's missing son, don't you?" And he goes, "No, mister, what's it missing?" He says, "It's missing a fucking jingle."
Me.
Yes.
Missing me.
Me.
It's interesting because the clip I just looked at on YouTube, it says it's been ripped from another site, but even so, it's had 750,000 views.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So the rest of the ad industry didn't hold Alan Brady Marsh in a lot in kind of particularly high esteem, but they had their clients loved them because their adverts sold stuff like there's no tomorrow. The agency apparently liked to describe their approach as attacking every problem with gusto and enthusiasm as opposed to creativity.
It's just pretty, isn't it? What we provide is enthusiasm.
But they had a reputation as the go-to guys if you wanted to sell shit. One of the things that they liked, and they were like Billy Big Bollocks for a while. In the early 70s, they went from being the fifth largest agency to the third largest agency. They hit second, and then the tide changed a little bit and people decided that advertising should be a bit more entertaining. But in their heyday, they actually liked their clients and they were very specific with clients. They basically said, "We'll do the advertising, but you've got to put money behind it." So they got a lot of bottle campaign that they did for milk in the early 80s. The early 80s, 1981. How much do you think the Milk Marketing Board shoved in media behind the got a lot of bottle ad?
I would say a lot because I remember having stickers, a T-shirt. I had a T-shirt with it on. It was like a really cool sort of brand new, you know, it wasn't just like TV ads, right? It was everything. I think I had a ruler at school, a pencil case, the lot.
The Milk Marketing Board chucked £20 million.
I was going to say £23 million, yeah.
Just in the TV spend.
Wow.
Just in TV spend. And this was back in 1981 when the Standard Media Commission for an agency was 15%. So those blokes made £3 million.
Wow.
Just on the media buy.
Just, oh, that's alone, yeah. Because it might sound obvious. Didn't it used to sponsor the milk race?
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm sure I remember badges and everything, yeah.
And I think it was one of those quasi, what do they call them? A quango, a quasi-autonomous non-government organisation. So they got government funding to obviously promote the promote drinking milk.
And then probably 5 years said, milk's bad for you, don't drink too much.
Exactly. You've got to drink this non-fat
shit. Drink butter now. Yeah. Eat butter, sorry. No eggs. No, I mean...
And so apparently ABM's clients loved them because they sold loads of stuff. And the clients had, the partners had big personalities. They were fond of.
I've seen this phrase. We're very enthusiastic. We've got big personalities.
They were very fond, apparently, of crashing into and crashing meetings, and doing dance routines in their white suits.
Oh, really?
Literally, yeah. Because one of them, the guy Mike Brady, had previously been a music hall entertainer.
Oh.
So you can imagine them crashing a meeting in the white straw, in the straw voucher, and the white suits and the canes, and bashing out, I'm a secret lemonade drinker.
Oh, so you can't say it without saying that, can you?
No.
It's, I've showed you a clip when I went to a meeting dressed in white once. Obviously, it was the first time. See, you laugh at that, but you speak like grandly of the people you used to do at the Top Hat and Cane. But like, yeah, it turned out the product didn't work. But that wasn't the first, obviously. That's good. So who bought them in the end? What happened to them?
They were eventually bought out by Low Howard Spink.
Right.
But Low Howard left them alone as a, as kind of standalone agency. And it just, times changed and they didn't change their shtick. They just kind of carried on going, what you need for this is a jingle, love.
Wow.
Yeah, look at me, I'm in my white suit. Da, 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 da.
But we're a funeral company. Well, you've got to laugh.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Yeah.
Tony, you can tell it's 1973. Lemonade is a guilty pleasure. What have they done with this ad?
What's the difference in 2021? What do we sneak out of the bedroom downstairs for now? Okay.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? I mean, they basically, it's a product, what I think we could call a product inversion proposition. So they've turned something that's an innocent pleasure into a guilty addiction.
But there's nothing wrong with that, except his wife doesn't like it. Okay. Are we looking for the scores on the doors, Marjorie?
I just wanted to very quickly get your take. You weren't around when this was on air. I remember it being on air. I was 11 years old, as I say. I remember it. I remember singing it in the playground. I don't know why. It's one of those earworm things that doesn't really happen anymore, does it? Does it? Give me one from the last 5 years.
Oh, I will in a minute. Hang on. Before that, I'll say, but I do remember it because as soon as you said the ad, I sang the jingle. Remember, I thought it was called Heart White.
Yeah, because it ran until 1984. I remember, so you probably would have seen it.
A jingle in the last 5 years would be.
Sorry, I've dropped you in it. But I'm,
no, Australian one, every day, like Friday, every day. Go Harvey Norman, go.
Go Harvey Norman, I suppose.
That's one.
Yeah.
Can't get quicker than a quick fitter. That's pretty old now.
That's ancient, isn't it?
Toyota. There's another one.
Yeah.
Every single Toyota ad, they have that in whatever form. Sometimes it's orchestra, sometimes it's a flute. But there's not many.
So it's a retail. It's a kind of a retail thing, isn't it?
It's the brand name repeated, as you say. It shows nothing else but going and basically drinking a glass of lemonade. It's product all the way through. There's no contrived stories, no misdirection.
Why?
It's pretty straightforward.
Why did the people of the United Kingdom vote this the fourth favourite ad of all time?
I'm a bit dubious about all of these awards. It's like, I don't think it's a favourite ad. I think it's ads you remember. Do you remember this? Oh, I do. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, put it down as number four, favourite. Because I think some of these ads that come up, they're not really favourites. They're like, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah. Do you like it? Yeah, what was it for? I don't know. It's like,
you're a cynic.
No, I don't know.
You're an absolute cynic.
No, not after you.
Cynic of a man.
It turned out the Lego wasn't Tommy Cooper and nobody knew. And Hovis, probably the most boring ad in the world. Oh,
do you think you're going to get over the Tommy Cooper thing? Just or is it?
It was, but it was... I think, I don't think it's a favourite ad. I think it's a well-known ad. I think it's a great jingle. I don't know if it's the country's favourite ad, as in favourite. Like, is it your favourite?
I reckon what we're going to do is about once every 6 weeks now, I'm going to go back and pick a Rod Allen ad. So whatever we do, we'll always come back to Rod and his lovely jingles.
Well, I want to see this guy. After this, I'm going to have a look at the remake with him in a ponytail.
Oh, shocking. It's so absolutely awful.
Would you know it was the original guy?
Because we're all hooked up.
Would you know it was the original guy?
I'm not sure I would know. I don't think so.
How did you know?
It looks terrible. I think you've made the point a couple of times that whenever a parody ad is created, it's always a good sign that an ad is very popular and has entered popular culture.
Absolutely, yeah.
There are a lot of parody versions of that ad.
But not many are any good, though. I've yet to see a parody better the actual...
White lemonade. Just type secret lemonade drinker 2012. Don't bother putting in our whites.
Forget the brand. It's that powerful.
Our white lemonade.
It's not coming out. Liquor. There you go. Secret lemonade liquor.
Yes.
I thought it was liqueur you were talking about.
No,
okay.
Liquor.
Ice lolly. Oh, dear. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, she looks like she slept in her face. I'm going to find one with the original sound.
It's very, very average, isn't it?
That was... Oh. So he's got that greasy mop top where he's got three hairs barcoded across the top. He overacts. He does look, like Jimmy Savile's uncle. He would scare Jimmy. You know what I mean? And then he licks that ice lolly with God. And then she just looks like she's been effectively pummeled by Frank Bruno.
Oh, so what did we decide he was called?
Julian Chagrin.
Chagrin. So Julian married a lady from Israel and disappeared over to Israel. And he's himself and his wife are actually quite famous, but in a kind of Israeli way. Do you know what I mean? Like Israel is like a world unto itself, and not very much gets past the border. So he's unheard of everywhere else in the world. But apparently, if you say his name in Israel, they're like, "Oh yeah, it's Julian."
There you go. He's a British Israeli comedy actor.
Yep. Allegedly.
Look at him now. Dear me.
I mean, none of us age well. He is 72 when he made that particular ad.
Yeah. Well, good on him.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's move on. Okay. We've got dropped into a bit of a cul-de-sac there. Talk to me marks out of five for creativity for that ad.
You're not going to like this.
I will like it.
Creativity.
Not a lot.
I think 3.6. I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry?
Because I feel you want it to be more. But creatively, there's nothing, as I said, they're enthusiastic.
Okay. 3.6. Brand?
5. It could not be.
There's not 24 times. Brand name in 30 seconds.
And we're still singing it today. It's a shame it's not Harwhites.
What about the casting?
Oh, God. I mean, as much as I dislike him even more now I've seen that, the recent one. And now I watch it back, it's not that sort of fun, quirky, like guy going down. He's a bit creepy now, look at him. But that's what made it, right? I think casting, probably a 3. The optician, probably 5. But the casting has got to be a 4.2.
Looking at it again, my feeling was that it could have been anybody.
It could have been. Yeah.
The cast doesn't make the ad.
It's amazing what you don't see of him, actually. If you had to describe him in a police lineup or an ad, you wouldn't be able to.
Yep. And finally, craft. Is there any craft in that ad, Tones?
Well, there's the song, but,
I make the argument that Rod Allen put every bit of advertising craft that he had in his body into that ad.
Did he?
Bear in mind, it's 1973.
Yeah, well, pianos were pianos. Beethoven wrote quite a lot more a few hundred years earlier.
We're comparing advertising jingle writers to Beethoven.
Well, which one do the British public love? I think, craft. No, don't. That hurts. Oh, ow. All right, 4.5. Jeez.
Okay.
What I'm disappointed about is there's nothing through this whole thing. Have I managed to rhyme or replace with any sort of innuendo with our white lemonade? There's nothing rude or anything I can think of.
Countdown to
17.4. Well,
I'm going to check it. I don't trust my mental arithmetic anymore. No, 17.3, not 17.4.
That's right. See, you're trying to round it up, aren't you? Just because, the favouritism.
Can you sing it just one more time? Because I know you do. I reckon not only do you sing this, you actually do the dance, right? When you go to the fridge, I reckon. Am I wrong?
Maybe. Secret Lemonade Drinker, 17.3. Rod Allen.
Your new idol. Your new idol. Tom Cunts has moved down two places. Rod Allen up. Is Rod still with us?
Unfortunately, Rod has been gone quite a while.
He's gone to the great jingle in the sky.
He has gone. He's taken his white piano. He's actually shouting down to Jimmy Savile, isn't he? Fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Fucking train. You ruined my train out. You ruined my legacy.
It's about you and me. It's about you, tree. No, I've got this in a minute. Hang on, God. What do you want to say? St. John. I can't get them all in. I can't get all 12 in.
I enjoyed that. Thank you very much, Tones. I love those ads.
Thank you, Secret Lemonade Drinker.
Okay. That was my choice as well, by the way, in case you couldn't tell. Bye.
1973 was good. It was weird to get a year of firsts, like first this, first that, first that.
I think it's weird to get a load of firsts that, what's that, 73, 83, 93, 103, nearly 40 years, nearly 50 years later. It's not even people of a certain age, is it? Last of the Summer Wine, I think, was on TV in the UK.
That was on for a long time.
Yeah. The Wombles have been recycled in multiple ways. Some mothers do have them. You probably have to be of an age. Are you being served? Do you have to be an age?
They're more well known for their catchphrases, their jingles, than they are the shows, really. Mm. I couldn't tell you an episode of what happened in Are You Being Served?
Yeah, same with Some Mothers Do Have Them, right. But Open All Hours has gone down as a comedy classic, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think it's that old. This is the one with Granville and stuff.
Yeah. Wait, so David Jason was Ronnie Barker's offsider in the corner shop.
I don't think it's that old.
And I think the entire premise was based around Ronnie Barker trying to get into the local nurse's knickers.
Which, in turn, Last of Summer Wine was trying to get into Nora Battis' stockings.
Whatever happened to the Likely Lads was a very strange...
Don't know what that was.
Sitcom. It was about two guys who'd been mates from childhood. One of them leaves and joins the army, and the other one becomes like a middle management kind of bloke. And then the army guy comes back and he's a slacker and doesn't get a job. It's very strange. It was weird. James Boland was the star of that. Do you remember James Boland?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the mustachioed posh guy.
And the other one was a bloke called Rodney Brewer, I think. Either Brewer or Brewer. MASH, everybody knows. As like I say, you could probably turn the telly on now and it'd be on one of the channels.
All I'm thinking about is all the milk roast you're talking about, that lotto bottle stuff. And I remember Blue Little Splash. I had a T-shirt with it on and it was a really cool device. I'm thinking of all that stuff now. It's really funny. You know, I can remember like smells and tastes. Mm. It was red and blue. Anyway, there's not many ads that would stand up to that, is there?
That's it for this week, Pod People. Thank you for listening to this desperate cry for attention from two middle-aged blokes with delusions of relevance. If you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed making it, then there's a good chance that we should all be reviewing our life choices with a critical eye. Apparently, if you give us a review, good things happen. And I think we can all agree that good things happening is a good thing to happen. So maybe have a think about making that happen, would you? Thanks very much. And ta-ra for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.